Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Father, we come to you asking you to draw us nearer, nearer to you. As we draw near to you, we draw near to life, and life more abundantly. Lord, the meaning of life is to know you. To know you for ourselves, not what someone said about you, but what we have experienced for ourselves. This is the meaning of life. And so as we come to your word this morning, we're asking that you, O Lord, would draw us near through your word to give us wisdom in how to hear from you. It is in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen. 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 We are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit, which is entitled Help is on the Way. And we know that the Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, our guide, our advocate, our life partner. And the Holy Spirit is the one who takes what we believe and makes it real. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the life Jesus died to give. Right? And so we've been talking recently about how to discern the will of God, how to hear God's voice. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And so as a follower of Jesus, as a follower of Christ, we have the opportunity of hearing the word of God. What does Jesus have to say to you today? And so we're talking about that. We've talked about hold on to the good. Part one was last week. This week is part two. I said I had three more things to share with you, but you had to come back to hear what it was. And so I'm glad you're back. If you could turn with me back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. It's also in your bulletin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. When you're there, say, "I'm there." Okay, and it reads, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good." All right, we're talking from this idea of holding on to the good. All right, and last week we discussed how when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, we described it as that something, you know, an impression of God's will, an impression of God's purpose on your heart and mind. You know, how you kind of sometimes you say, "Man, something told me to call that person," or "Something told me to do X, Y, and Z." And sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit will speak to you. It will be an impression of God's purpose and God's will in your heart and mind. And so according to this text, we have some options. We can either blindly accept what we hear, blindly reject what we hear, or test what we hear. And when it came to prophetic ministry, Paul said to test everything and hold on to the good. And so the principle for us is if we believe God is saying something to us, whether it's through scripture or prayer, godly counsel, or circumstances, all right, combined with the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, our response should be to test what we hear. All right, it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. So if I want to cooperate with God's Spirit in my life, part of that cooperation is testing what I hear. So I don't blindly accept, I don't blindly reject, but I test what I hear. Testing what I hear is worship. Testing what I hear pleases the Lord. Why? Because we're all on a journey in learning to hear God's voice for ourselves. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that what? You may approve and test and discern what God's will is. And so because we're on a journey of being renewed in our minds, we're on a journey of learning how to discern the will of God. And so testing what we hear is acknowledging that we're all on a journey. Doesn't matter how long you've been on the journey, you're not there yet. So we all need to test what we hear. We also need to test what we hear because we want to be responsible. We want to be responsible stewards of God's purpose in our lives. Okay? We don't want to just be haphazard with following the Lord. We want to be as precise as possible because we care. We want to do what God wants us to do. Amen? We care about our relationship with God. We take it seriously, so we want to be responsible hearers. Okay, and I'm going to remind you of something else we talked about last week. We said when it came to God's voice, there are three things to remember. There are the channels through which God speaks. All right, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. There are the conditions of the heart that make you sensitive to hearing God's voice. All right, does anyone remember some of the things the Holy Spirit does to help us be sensitive to God's voice? Anybody remember? I'm coming down like a talk show. Well, the Holy Spirit leads us to pray, right? To worship, to be thankful, to rejoice, right? Didn't it say it? We just read it, right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says to rejoice always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Then it says, do not quench the Spirit. All right, so the Holy Spirit leads you to pray, leads you to rejoice, leads you to give thanks. And these things sensitize your heart to the will of God. And if you want to review that message, just get the CD, talk to Joyce or Dave in the back after service. So you have the channels, you have the conditions of the heart, and then the last one is the checks. So the things that you use that God helps you to test what you hear. Okay? And last week we talked about the test of Scripture, the test of God's wisdom versus the world's wisdom. And then we talked about the test of faith. All right, so I gave you three. I'm going to give you three more today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes. Okay. All right now. So test number four. How do I know what I'm hearing is from God? Test number four. The test of spirit versus flesh. All right, the test of spirit versus the old me, the sinful me. Okay, if what I'm hearing is leading me to satisfy my sinful desires, if what I'm hearing is leading me to feed my selfish ambition or my envy or my bitterness or my pride, then what I'm hearing is not from the Lord. That's just the old me talking. All right, and this is very interesting because one of the things we've been talking about is how when the Lord speaks to you, sometimes we assume that if it's the Lord, it's all the Lord. And if it's not, it's nothing of the Lord. It's just me. All right. But many times it's a mixture. It's a mixture of you having a sense of God's will, but then we might add something a little to it. All right. And we have to learn how to discern what is from God and what is from me. And I'll give you a great example. Go to James chapter 1. When you're there, say I'm there. Okay, y'all are quick. Okay, James chapter 1, look at verse 5. We're going to be flipping around today. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says what? It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask who? God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. and it will be given to him. If I need wisdom, if I need wisdom in my situation, in my life, in my decision making, I ask God and God will give me wisdom. Now go to chapter 3, jump over to James chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven," God's wisdom, the wisdom from the Spirit, "is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." What does all this mean? It means that words from God, the voice of God, when I'm discerning God's will for my life, it will lead me to demonstrate righteousness, compassion, love, sincerity, submission to God, and mercy. Now, what does this have to do with the mixture I was talking about? Some of it's God, some of it's me. What's that classic conversation you have with your significant other or your friend that you hang around with a lot? You say, "It's not what you said, it's how you said it. It's not what you said, it's how you said it." Sometimes the Lord may speak, for example, the Lord may put something on your heart to share with someone, right? A truth that you want to share with someone. And the Lord may have definitely led you to share that truth with that person. But if you don't share it in the right way, if you share it from a place of judgment or share it from a place of impatience, or your tone isn't full of mercy, isn't compassionate, isn't sincere, isn't rooted in love, that was you. So the message may have been, the content may have been from God, but the tone wasn't. Does that make sense? So that's the mixture I'm talking about. Some, you know, we can hear things, and some of us gets in there because, you know, maybe the way we say something isn't coming from the Lord. But the scriptures are saying that the wisdom that comes from God will lead us to be full of mercy, all right, compassion, sincerity. Okay, and this also applies to how we hear from God in the first place, because many times you may hear something from the Lord genuinely about your life, but the tone with which you interpret what you hear is harsh, judgmental, you know, condemnatory, maybe because of how you grew up or what your preconceived notion of God is. Sometimes, you know, if for example, the Lord, you know, the Holy Spirit might tap his hand on an area of your life and say, "Son, daughter, that wasn't right. What you said, that wasn't right. Or what you did, that wasn't right." And depending on how we view God, we may interpret that in a harsh way and say, "Oh my goodness, God hates me now. Oh my goodness, I feel so guilty. I feel so condemned." And but that part wasn't from God. Just the truth of the fact that you needed to correct something, that was from God. But the tone with which you're interpreting it wasn't from the Lord. Am I making sense? Right? So if God's wisdom leads us to be full of mercy and compassion and sincerity, like we just read in James, that means when God speaks to us, God is speaking with mercy, with compassion, with love, with sincerity. All right, so my question that I'm asking, you know, if I'm applying this test of spirit versus flesh, I'm asking the question, is what I'm hearing, if I follow through with what I'm hearing, will my actions demonstrate righteousness, love, the fruit of the Spirit, and mercy? All right, and I can also ask, what is the tone with which I'm hearing what I'm hearing? All right. Does God really want me to feel the way I'm feeling as a result of what I heard? Or is that just me being too hard on myself? Is that me importing my preconceived notion of who God is onto what I'm hearing? Amen. Amen. Cause even when the Lord taps on an area of your life and you've done something wrong, I let me tell you, your response it should be, "Wow, thank you, Lord. Okay. thank you for showing me that. And next time, I'm praying that you help me do better next time. All right. God's voice, God never wants you to feel like somehow your relationship with God is now called into question because of what you've done. Okay. So God's wisdom is full of mercy, compassion, truth, and love. And I could refer you to Galatians 5:22 and 23. You know that scripture, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, right? Self-control, right? So is what I'm hearing, will that, if I act on what I'm hearing, will those things follow? Will love follow? Will joy follow? Will peace follow? Will patience follow? If not, then the source isn't from the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Okay, so that's test number four. Let's talk about another one. The test of peace. Test number five, the test of peace. Okay, when God speaks, peace follows. All right, go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. All right. When you're there, say, I'm there. Okay. I'll give you a couple more seconds. I hear some pages flipping. Okay. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 9. It says, whatever you have, this is Paul talking, the apostle Paul talking. He wrote, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. All right? So in other words, when you do the will of God, all right, Paul is saying, look, if you follow my example, if you put into practice the things I've taught you, all right, if you do something with what you've heard and you walk in God's purpose and God's will for your life, the God of peace will go with you. All right? So when we are walking in the will of God, peace comes with walking in God's will. Doesn't mean there isn't any trouble around you. Doesn't mean there aren't any storms around you. But when you are walking in the will of God, you can be in a storm, but be asleep in the boat. You see what I'm saying? Because when you're in God's will, there's a peace that's in your heart that, you know what, I'm walking according to God's plan. So even if there's chaos all around me, there's still peace in my soul. All right. Peace follows walking in the will of God. Now, there's a difference between having no peace and your faith being stretched. Because sometimes when the Lord speaks and the Lord leads you to do something, it may require your faith to be stretched, and you may feel that stretching of your faith, but it won't bring trouble in your soul. Let me explain the difference. When your faith is stretched, you think to yourself, God, I need you on this one. Lord, I really need you on this one. But when you have no peace and you're troubled in your soul, you think, this is wrong. Something's not right. Something isn't sitting well with me. You remember that story we read in our last series on motives? Remember that? Under the influence? Remember that? Good. I hope so. We were looking at 1 Samuel chapter 8. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 8 real quick. I'm going to give you how this, let me give you another example of this. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And the children of Israel wanted a king, but they were asking for a king for the wrong reasons. Remember that? And look at 1 Samuel chapter 8 and look at verse 6. All right. So the children of Israel had just told Samuel, we want a king. All right. Are you there? Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6, it says, but when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. Okay, and when Samuel heard the people tell him, we want a king, something didn't sit well with him. It didn't quite sit right. It didn't feel right. There wasn't a peace there, and he knew, I need to pray about this. That was an indication he needed to pray about it. So if there's no peace with what you're hearing, check it. Double check it. All right, so the test of peace says, do I have peace with what I'm hearing, or am I, is what I'm hearing causing trouble in my soul? All right, let's talk about one last test, the test of confirmation. The test of confirmation. Go to Job 33. Job 33, right before Psalm. Job 33. I hope this is helping somebody. I hope you're taking notes and refer to this later. Job chapter 33, go to verse 14. All right, you there? It says, for God does speak. This is Elihu talking to Job. For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Okay, so Elihu is basically, he's going on this soliloquy about why Job is experiencing the suffering that he's experiencing. And he's basically accusing Job of not listening to God. He's assuming, well, you must have done something wrong. There must be something in your life that is not pleasing to the Lord. And in this section, he's accusing him of not listening. But now, even though his accusation is wrong, the statement he's making is true. In terms of God does speak now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. So in other words, God speaks in various ways and on multiple occasions to communicate his message to us. Right? And it's our responsibility to pay attention to what's being said. All right. So that statement that Elihu was making is true, but his accusation of condemning Job of not listening was wrong. All right. But the statement is true theologically. God speaks in various ways and on multiple occasions to communicate his message to us. Let me give you an example. Have you ever been praying about something during the week or during a particular month? And then on Sunday, you hear it in the message and you're like, man, I was just praying about that. Yeah. Or you're in Sunday school. You're like, man, I was just praying about that. Or I was just thinking about that. Pay attention to those things because the Lord speaks one way, this way, another way, and you'll hear the same message, but in different venues, in different ways. And that may be the Lord trying to communicate something to you. All right. We could go to Samuel. We can go back to Samuel. The story when Samuel was called, 1 Samuel chapter 3, you can read it later, but basically Samuel was asleep, right? And then the Lord says, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel wakes up, he goes to Eli, right? He says, Eli, did you call me? Eli goes, I didn't call you, go back to sleep. So he goes back to sleep and he's like, all right. And then Samuel, Samuel, he wakes up, goes back to Eli a second time. Eli, did you call me? What does Eli say? No, I didn't call you, go back to sleep. So he goes back to sleep again. And then the same thing happens. He's sleeping and something goes, Samuel, Samuel. And he wakes up, goes back to Eli. And then it says in verse 8, it says, then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling Samuel. What's the principle? When God is trying to get our attention, sometimes he will repeat himself. Okay, so the test of confirmation asks the question, has God said this before in some way? Has God said this before in some way? If you're hearing something regarding a life decision or any kind of important decision, you need to ask the question, has God led me in this direction in some other way in the past? And there's actually two kinds of confirmation. One is repeated messages, like we've just said, God repeating himself. But then the second kind of confirmation is understanding your past. And this one is so cool. Let me show you this. Go to John chapter 14. So two kinds of confirmation, repeated messages. And then the second kind we're going to talk about now is understanding your past. Go to John chapter 14. And we're going to start at verse 25. Okay, John chapter 14. Start at verse 25. When you're there, you say, I'm there. Okay. It says, all this I have spoken. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I'm going to read that part again. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Oftentimes we separate those two ministries of the Spirit, teaching and reminding. But many times they actually go together. And let me give you an example. Go to John chapter 2. Starting at verse 18. Okay. So Jesus told the disciples, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of what I said. John chapter 2, verse 18. It says, then the Jews demanded of Jesus, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Check this out. Verse 22. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. So in other words, when it happened at the time, when Jesus said, when Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days, the disciples didn't understand what that was about. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit spoke to the disciples about Jesus being raised from the dead, reminded them of what Jesus had done in the past, and it gave them understanding. Right? So the Holy Spirit was reminding them and teaching them at the same time. Right? So what's the principle for us? The principle is when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, many times the Holy Spirit is not only helping you in your present, but what the Holy Spirit is telling you is giving you an understanding of what God had done in your past. It's kind of like that divine aha moment. It's like, oh, so that's what you were doing when such and such have, that's why that door had to close. That's why that door opened. That's why that person had to move. That's why I went through what I went through. That's what you were doing. Now I understand. You see, so confirmation works that way as well. And so one of the tests we bring to the table is what I'm hearing giving me an understanding of what God has done in the past. Is what I'm hearing now helping me understand my past. And this is really important in terms of like big life decisions. All right. This may not always apply in terms of, you know, the Lord is leading you to, you know, encourage somebody or, you know, or something like that. But in terms of like a life decision, you want to ask that question, you know, is what I'm hearing now giving me an understanding of my past? And this is where journaling comes into play. All right. This is my journal. All right. And Tara will tell you, if our apartment was burning down after Tara and Gaz were out of the building, this is the first thing I'd go for. My journal is the most important possession that I have outside of my family. The most important. Okay, I can get another Bible. All right, they make Bibles that, you know, that's easy to get. I can't get another one of these. When you are studying the scriptures, when you are praying, when you are in church, when the Holy Spirit prompts you with something during the week, write it down. Write it down. Because when you come to a place where you're seeking God's wisdom and trying to make a decision and where God is leading you, what is God's will for my life in this season of my life, in this circumstance, in this situation, the test of confirmation is a lot easier when you have a record of what God has laid on your heart in the past. When you can see how God has been leading you over the past month, year, several years. Right? When you're trying to get an understanding of your past, having a journal helps bring that into play. And a journal kind of helps you to see kind of, you know, it gives you like a topography of your walk with God. What has my walk with God been like over the past month, over the past week, over the past year? What has God been teaching me? What have I been led to study? And how has the things I've been studying preparing me for what's coming? You see? And if you try to be intentional with what you study and how you're praying, and you keep a record of those things, now you have something to kind of give you some confirmation is what I'm facing now, how has God been preparing me for what I'm facing now through what I've been studying, through what I've been praying about? Amen. So a next step for everyone today is you need to get a journal. Okay? Get a journal. Record things you hear in prayer. Record things you're learning in Bible study. Record things you're learning on Sunday. Write it all down. All right? Because the test of confirmation is easier when you've got a record on file. Okay? I hope this has helped you today. We are going to go into our time of meditation and quietness. Okay? We are going to pray about what our next step will be. What will your next step of faith be? Okay? Do you want to ask the Lord to give you a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit? You've got some suggested next steps on the back of your connection card. Do you want to memorize Romans 8:5? You're going to come to membership class? You're going to attend the Art of Marriage? Whatever your next step is, let's pray about that now. Okay?